Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Your Owlpost for the week is freshly delivered. I am one of the hosts here, Matthew Rushing. And with me, as she is always, the wonderful, talented, beautiful Drea Kaufman.
Hello, everyone.
Well, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am fantastic, mainly because we're going to talk about a chapter full of spiders.
I know.
Yeah.
If you have spider phobia, you should just move on.
Yeah, absolutely. What's really funny is that as we're recording, I'm sitting by the window here at the house, and there is a spider web outside the home with a spider on it. So,
yeah. Did you follow it to see if it led you back to your...
He's not really moving. He's not really a mover. He's more of a waiter. You know, he waits for things to fall into his web. So, but...
Maybe once it does, you can follow him back to see where it takes
you. But if you'd like to fall into our web on social media here, you can find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party, and you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty. We have our own website. You can find that at thenerdparty.com, and you can find all the shows we do there. You could leave us an email. Send us an email. Go to thenerdparty.com/contact. Choose Owlposts, and that will come to Drea and I. And, of course, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts and every other podcatcher out there. And, in fact, you know, if you'd really like to help us out, star rating reviews, those really help catch other listeners like a web. So string your web up with your review, and we'll mention that review on the show. And I'm really excited this week, Drea, as we talked about, we're at the chapter where the boys will meet Aragog, chapter 15 here. And, you know, I think it's really interesting because what happens in this chapter doesn't happen automatically from the moment of the last chapter. Like, there is time that passes here because the boys go back and they visit Hermione. They're not quite sure what to do. They understand the spider thing, but the problem is they haven't been able to find any spiders whatsoever in the castle. Like, they seem to have vanished.
Well, it doesn't help that, you know, they're restricted and not able to sort of search on their own. You know, they're with everyone else, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, they can't go anywhere else. And, you know, it's also frustrating too, because, you know, in that the end of the last chapter, you're like, you just really want to punch, you know, Lucius Malfoy. Like, in this chapter, I really want to punch his son for being a little jerk.
Yes.
Because he keeps talking about how he wished Granger had died. Like,
and Ron tries to go after him, which was really cute. Fighting for his friend. Like, that's awesome.
Probably good that he didn't end up with more slugs.
Yeah, probably.
So.
No one to give him a bucket now.
Right. And one of the things that, you know, I like that this chapter does, and obviously it doesn't happen in the movie because we've got time passing, but the thing that we see is that the kids are working in herbology with the, I think it's like Abyssinian shrivel figs. And it's so interesting to watch Ernie McMillan come up to Harry and apologize because of what's happened to Hermione, and him saying, look, you would never attack Hermione. I was totally wrong, and I'm so sorry for all the things I said about you. And what's so cool is that as jerky as Malfoy's being, Harry and Ron are making friends again with Ernie and then, Hannah Abbott, and they worked together throughout herbology. And it was one of those moments where you see the way in which these kids, there's something about it. It just kind of brings joy to your heart, you know, when you see that they can admit when they're wrong and forgive one another. And I just thought that was, it's a really small moment, but I thought it was actually kind of beautiful to see happen.
Yeah, and, you know, Ron wasn't maybe quite so I don't know, understanding or forgiving as Harry is. But, you know, with Harry taking the high road, he basically elects that he'll take the high road too, even though he maybe doesn't agree. But it was nice also to see that, you know, to see him, the how big it is. I mean, it's hard for adults to do that and be like, oh, yeah, I was wrong. So, like, you know, I just wanted to say I'm sorry, let alone kids to do that. You know, I think it was really great to see that whole interaction.
It's one of the things that I really enjoy about what she does, because these little small moments, they continue to build the character of Harry Potter and the impact that he has on the people around him, specifically somebody like Ron. And we'll see Ron's impact, I think, on Harry throughout the series too. But this is one of those places where Harry's lead of kind of becoming the bigger man at this point, you know, and letting it go and realizing that Ernie is being completely sincere, yeah, is, you know, and understanding the situation. It's almost as if he can, again, like we talked about the last chapter of the Trinity kind of putting themselves in other people's shoes and what they might be feeling with what happened 50 years ago. It almost seems like Harry could do this here, and he's like, no, it's cool. You know, I appreciate it. Thank you. You know, we can let it go now. And it's also at the same moment where they're working, where they see spiders again, finally, and realize they're heading to the Forbidden Forest.
I really like, too, that they notice and they just start going into their own little world. And Ernie and Hannah are still there. And they're like, what? Like, I was in this particular read through, I started picturing it from their mind and going like, okay, so maybe he's not the heir of Slytherin, but maybe he's completely lost his mind.
Yeah. Like, he's a little bit off his rocker.
It's one of those things.
He's a bit of a nutter.
It's one of those things where, like, you imagine that they think it's an aside and really they're speaking out loud instead, you know, from like a bad comedy or something. Like, it was one of those moments where you're like, they are still listening to you. Okay.
Yeah, I love that. And I also love that as they make their way from Herbology to Lockhart's classroom, Lockhart, man, he just sticks his foot in it again. And it connects a little bit with the politics that we saw earlier and kind of the superiority complex that certain adults have in the Harry Potter universe and just in general in the real world, of thinking they know so much better, they're so much smarter than kids or, you know, teenagers. And him saying, oh, young man, you know, to Dean Thomas about, you know, the right culprit has been taken away. And I love it. It's Dean Thomas who's like, says who? And he's like, yeah. Oh, my dear man, you know, the Ministry of Magic wouldn't have taken Hagrid if there hadn't been 100% sure that he was guilty.
I know. It's that moment where you realize that rhetoric that we all sort of read in the last chapter that Fudge is sort of trying to spin, that like that works on people. Like some people really buy it. And you're like, oh my God, that just makes me have even, I didn't think I could have less respect for you, but now there's even more that I'm not lacking for you. So,
yeah. 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 And it's, again, I think this book is a really formative thing for the political side of the character of Harry Potter and seeing these kind of adults, whether it's a Lockhart, whether it's a Fudge, whether it's seeing Lucius Malfoy in action and what he's capable of. I think that this really has an impact on Harry. And right. It has an impact on, again, how he's going to respond. And I love, too, that they're like, nope, it's time to go figure out what's going on. And they're like, okay, well, our plan is, one, we got the cloak. We're going to go to Hagrid's. We'll get Fang. And then we'll go searching throughout the Forbidden Forest. And like, these kids kind of have like stones of steel. Like the fact that they're going to go walk around in the Forbidden Forest by themselves. And the fact, of course, if you've seen the movies, of course, Ron was in the Forbidden Forest, but actually in the book, this is the first time he's ever been to the Forbidden Forest. So not only is he chasing the thing he fears the most, which is spiders, but he's going to a place which he's never been before, which is kind of the scariest place on the school grounds.
Yeah, I thought that was so interesting. I had completely forgotten that he hadn't been to the forest. For some reason, I remembered him going with them when they had their last, when they had their detention. I, for some reason, I remember him also being in detention, but no, because it was Hermione and Harry, because Ron was laid up with a broken leg, arm, slugs. I don't remember something, but I had forgotten that. So I was like, oh yeah, he's never been. Thanks for the reminder.
Well, and what I love is that the scariest thing that they run into first is not a spider, but it's the car.
It's the car.
A wild car.
I loved it. I loved it. It was hilarious.
The idea of finding the enchanted car in the forest and the boys being like, oh man, the forest has turned it wild. It's like Lord of the Flies with cars.
I know. I thought it was so funny. I just had to laugh at that. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, and what's funny is that that's not the scariest thing that happens, because the next thing they know is that they're upside down being carried by something with eight legs. And then they get dropped into something that's even bigger than what they were being carried by, that's the size of an elephant.
Yes.
And it's a spider and it's talking to them.
And it wants to kill them.
It does want to kill them. Like, how terrifying is that?
Kill them.
Oh, and Harry's, you know, he says the right thing. We're friends of Hagrid's. We're friends of Hagrid's. And they're like, oh, that's okay. And this is the thing where the conversation that they had at the beginning of the chapter last time, where they're talking about Hagrid and their understanding of who Hagrid is. And what's great is that their sense of who Hagrid is exactly what Aragog will confirm that Hagrid is.
Well, it's exactly what, yeah, it who they know him to be is confirmed by the fact that, like, that's who he is to everyone who knows him. So it's really nice to see that sort of vindication that they were doing the right thing, right? That they had the right idea. They have the right perception of him from the very beginning.
Well, it's one of those places where Hagrid has a proclivity for picking up strays, and monstrous strays at that. And Harry Potter has the same proclivity, but it's usually for people that are kind of wayward or strange or other people don't like or won't pay attention to or discount. And Hagrid just does the same thing for magical creatures. And I think that's really interesting where you see the mirroring between Harry and Hagrid, and maybe one of the reasons why they are and become such close friends and a person that Harry can trust, because in a lot of ways, they have a lot of similarities. They've had a lot of bad things happen to them. They've been discounted or pushed aside or just kind of stared at for different reasons. You know, Harry, because he's got a lightning bolt scar that had nothing to do with anything that his fault. And Hagrid, because he's a giant. I love...
Hey, don't ruin it for everybody.
I just love the way that this conversation with Aragog really does the best job of making you love Hagrid all the more, even though he might be a bit of a nutter himself for taking in, like, monstrous spiders.
For wanting to raise a dragon.
Well, and not only this, but not only does he help Aragog out, but guess what? He also got him a wife.
He's such a kind-hearted person. How can you be upset about that?
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I also think it's pretty scary that by the end of the conversation, Aragog's like, well, I told you your story, but now I'm going to eat you because, like, my kids are hungry and I can't deny them fresh meat.
Maybe we need the car to come rescue us.
And I love that that's what happens. And obviously, it's more cinematic in the movie.
Yes.
I do absolutely love them getting out of the car. And he's like, I'm never going to forgive Hagrid. We're lucky to be alive. Ron is just, like, pissed at this point. And about how, you know, Harry's defending him, but I bet he thought, you know, Aragog, you'd never hurt one of, you know, Hagrid's friends. And Ron just keeps going on about how that's the problem with Hagrid. He doesn't understand monsters are monsters and like all of this stuff. And it's just, it's really funny. And then as he's ranting, he also says, but it was really interesting because Hagrid never opened the Chamber of Secrets. He was innocent.
Right.
And so he took the fall for something he had absolutely nothing to do. And it's, you know, what was so great about the last chapter, we were talking about the uncomfortableness that we had with what happens to Hagrid in the first place.
And it's worse. It's worse now. Now I'm extra upset because he, in fact, did not do anything wrong, but still got penalized. And he's continually taking, you know, heat for it time and time again. And it's not real.
Yeah. No, it's something that was completely manufactured because it was an action that somebody took that seemed like we're doing something. And then it, quote unquote, took care of the problem. And that's an air quote, stink, stink. But it hadn't really. And it just goes to show how important it is to take the correct action at the correct time for the correct reasons.
Yes.
And I really love that she's starting to drive that point home here.
Well, she's starting to show the consequences of what happens when you don't, right? Like if you don't take the correct action and you're doing something for the sake of doing something, you potentially, first of all, it doesn't solve the problem, right? You band-aided it. You think that everyone seems a little less on edge, but that does not happen. And you know, you're putting on a good face for the for the overall show, but ultimately you still have the same problem, only worse, because now you don't have the support of those people who you've hurt. So it's just crazy how many consequences are just sort of obviously shown right away by something like this. So,
well, and it's interesting because as the boys get back, you know, Ron falls right to sleep and Harry has having a hard time falling asleep. And he's thinking and he wakes up Ron in the middle of the night because he puts a couple of pieces together and saying, you know, what if the girl who got killed never left the bathroom she got killed in? And Ron's like, rubbing his eyes, Moaning Myrtle? And I like how we're, I mean, everything is about to come together.
Yep.
It's
fun.
We're
about to figure out what's going on.
But we can't yet because that's the end of the chapter.
Da-da-da-da!
Don't you hate it when that happens?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just keep reading. I can't now, and it's really hard, but.
Yeah. No, I got to the end of this one as I was reading today, and I was like, no, I want to go to the next chapter, but I'm like, I can't go to the next chapter. I need to wait.
I need to keep my focus.
I need to keep my focus because otherwise I'll start talking about things that happen in this chapter, but in this episode, and people will be like, no. So, but yes.
I'll be like, confused.
But the next chapter is The Chamber of Secrets, and I can't wait to dive into it with you. But, you know, if people want to talk or speculate or hit you up online, you know, where can they find you spider-free online?
Yes. So come find my spider-free Facebook, or I'm sorry, my spider-free Twitter account at Drea Kaufman. Or you can check out my Instagram, which is also spider-free. Yeah, that's correct. It is spider-free at Drea Kaufman, and it's C-O-F-F-M-A-N.
But it's not cat-free. So
no,
if you're allergic to cats, be careful.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be, if you're that allergic, you might still have an allergy attack. Right now it's riddled with pregnancy related things, carrots, because my husband apparently can't measure a small handful of carrots, and cats. So, you know, the important stuff in life. Oh, and the random Harry Potter reference too, because that's, you know,
yeah,
also
I mean,
an
it's
important
just classic.
So,
Well, you can find me on the interwebs at MattRushing02 on Twitter, as well as the same moniker on Instagram. You can find me here on the network doing aggressive negotiations with John Mills as we're talking about Star Wars. Just anything and everything Star Wars. You can find us on Aggressive Negotiations. I'm over on the Trek FM network with The Orb with Chris Jones talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Our general geek show, The 602 Club, and we talk about all the fandoms we love. We've talked through all the Harry Potter movies. We've talked through a bunch of Bond movies, DC, Marvel. I mean, Star Wars, the list goes on and on. Make sure you check it out. I think you're going to love it. And then if you like the discussion of film, but you'd like a little more nuanced look at that through maybe the lens of faith, I'd encourage you to check out my other show, Cinema Stories. And you can find all of those on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, thank you so much for checking your outpost.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.